Hello. Big beefy podcast today, squashing what I usually do, into one, two different ones into one. We're going to talk about all kinds of these stats that I've pulled up for when the Steelers have the ball and when the Jets have the ball. Real quick first, though, I just wanted to say thank you. My weekly War Room article every week, I read every comment, try to comment back with you guys, and just wanted to say kind of blown away with how positive the responses have been from many of you. So thank you very much. Just want to let you know that it doesn't go unnoticed. Steelers, when they have the ball, they're throwing the ball right now 62% of the time. That's like league average and much different than what we've seen in the past. I mean, in the past 2 years, only the Bucs threw the ball more than the Steelers. I'm much more comfortable with 62%. I like their run-pass ratio right now. One thing about Deontay Johnson that isn't his fault at all, but he is last in generating after-the-catch yardage. I think some of that's just circumstance, small sample size. Maybe some of the passes haven't been, in stride to hit him the way he's been used. But he has received double-digit targets in all three games this year. He's the only receiver in the league to have at least a 30% target share in each one of the games this year. That's a big deal. I am a big believer in yards per route run. How many yards do you create every time you run a route, whether you're thrown to or not? Deontay's at 1.72. It's a pretty good number, a big number. Claypool is at 0.73, and Pickens is at 0.64. Pat Freiermuth at 1.7, which is a very, very good number for a tight end. 86% of Claypool's snaps have come out of the slot. He has also been targeted 6 times exactly in each game this year. The Jets are allowing 9.7 yards per target to opposing wide receiver. That is 31st in the league, and they also have a league-high touchdown rate to that position. So, could be a good week for the Steelers receivers. Jets defense last week held Joe Mixon to just 24 yards on his 12 carries, and the Bengals only averaged 2.5 yards per rushing attempt. The Jets for the season are holding opposing rushers to 3.7 yards per carry, a very, very good number. Their run defense has been good. Some snap count stuff for the Steelers. Mason Cole missed 4 plays this year, but otherwise their starting 5 has been out there for every play on the offensive line. As you would imagine, the receiver snaps are really dominated by Deontay playing 160. Claypool has played 167, and Pickens has played 140. No one else has played more than 20 at the wide receiver position. Freiermuth played 149, and Gentry's played 62. Much different than last year is the running back usage. And basically, we're seeing a 2-to-1 split in Harris's favor over Warren. He's played 126 versus 52 for Warren. However, Warren is averaging 4.7 yards per rush, and Harris is averaging 32 yards per rush. 3.2 yards per rush, sorry. Collectively, though, the Steelers running backs average 3.6 yards per touch. That's last in the NFL. And I think I misspoke. Harris is averaging 3.2 yards per rush, not touch. Sometimes some of this stuff gets convoluted. The Jets don't have anyone on their team with more than a sack and a half and have only sacked the opposing quarterbacks 5 times through 3 games. Along those lines, they blitzed Joe Burrow 10 times last week. And on those 10 plays, Burrow completed 7 of 10, 119 yards, 2 touchdowns. It's not really how they're designed to blitz, and it did not go well. As you remember, Ben Roethlisberger was the fastest, basically, in the league of getting the ball out of his hands. Mitch Trubisky's at 2.7. That's right around league average. His completion percentage is a little below average, but his yards per attempt, 5.5, is at the bottom of the league. And, his EPA is 29th per dropback. And if you take out his first down attempts, he's averaging just 4.3 yards per attempt, worse than league. So he's been at his best on first downs, but in general, none of them's particularly good. Against the Browns, just 6 of Trubisky's 32 pass attempts were between the numbers, and 4 were completed. On his targets in the mid-range from 10 to 20 yards downfield, Trubisky was 9 of 12. So I think that's a neighborhood they need to attack more often. This is disheartening. Steelers have punted on half of their possessions. That's the highest percentage in the league, 50%. Pittsburgh is last in the league in yards gained per drive. Ooh, yuck. We know time of possession is a huge problem for the Steelers. They're last in the league with that. But they do play fast on offense. Only four offenses snap the ball more often per minute of regulation play than the Steelers. Maybe slowing that down wouldn't be a bad idea either. You know, give the defense a little bit of a rest. Maybe not play so fast. I mean, I think that's something to address. The Jets defense allows 8 points on average in the first quarter of games and 14.7 in the first halves of games. Both those numbers are right at the bottom of the league. And here's another one. Points per drive. Steelers are only producing 1.36 points per drive. Only six teams are worse. Yeah. All right, so buzz through those. We'll take this quick break, come back, and talk when the Jets have won. All right, I mentioned time possession before. I've been harping on it all week. On average, the Steelers are playing 77 snaps of defense per game, by far the most in the league. I mean, to give you a frame of reference, Houston, who is dreadful, they're playing 72 snaps per game of defense, so five whole snaps. I mean, so that's by far the most worst in the league. Meanwhile, the Jets, one thing about them, they're running a ton of plays. I think that's a big thing to key on in this game. You know, mentioned the Steelers are on the field for 77. Well, the Jets run 76 offensive plays against the Bengals and on average run 74 plays per game. That leads the league. They play very fast as well. They run 2.65 plays per minute of game time. That's the fastest rate in the league. But again, that was Flacco. New York is averaging just 2 points scored in the first quarter of games this year. I mentioned how many they're letting up before, and they are not producing early in games. Flacco threw 54 passes against the Bengals. He leads the NFL in pass attempts, and I just heard this morning that he has thrown the most passes through the first 3 weeks of the season of any quarterback in history. He's not the quarterback now, but that's how they've chose to play. Will they still? Who's to say? However, only Kyler Murray and Trubisky are the only quarterbacks that have a lower yards per completion than Joe. So it's been a lot of, I recruited Joe to Pitt, so that's why he's Joe to me. Sorry. But you know, a lot of backs catching, we'll get to that kind of stuff, a lot of tight end usage. So we're going to see Zach Wilson. Here's some stuff from his rookie season. He started 13 games as a rookie, 9 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, averaged just under 180 yards per game, completed just over 55% of his passes, 6.1 yards per attempt, was 50th of all quarterbacks, and his average depth of target was 30th. He was very high in time to throw, 3.05 seconds, and this is disheartening. When Wilson was on the field, New York averaged 4.55 yards per play. That would have been last in the league if extrapolated over an entire season. Again, he only played 13 games. This is the most pass-happy team in the league. Not surprising. I just told you the Flacco stats. But they're throwing the ball 74.3% of the time. The Raiders are the only other team at 70 or higher. If we're into explosive plays, that's runs of 10 yards, passes of 20. New York's offense has only created more explosives than the Chargers and Bengals. So they're 30th in explosive plays. As you probably know, Alex Highsmith leads the NFL in sacks right now with 4.5. Only 7 teams have more sacks than the Steelers right now. And obviously that's without Watt for a big stretch. The Steelers have allowed four receivers, Jamar Chase, Nelson Aguilar, Jacoby Myers, and Amari Cooper, to reach at least 95 receiving yards in a game this season. And this is a good group of receivers they're going to face. I'm going to dig into them right now. Garrett Wilson left last week's game for four drives. He missed four drives with an injury and only played 48 snaps, but 39 of them came out of the slot. Elijah Moore played 76 snaps, and Corey Davis played 70. I mentioned yards per route run earlier in the podcast. Wilson's at 1.98, which is noticeably even higher than Deontay. That's one of the highest in the league. I think he's going to be a star, folks. Davis is at 1.47, but he also had like an 80-yard, you know, kind of fluky play. And Moore is at 0.91. I think Moore is also a star in the making. Tyler Conklin, their tight end, caught 8 for 84 last week, but he was on the field for 67 of a possible 78 snaps. And he's been on the field for 209 snaps so far in 2020. I mean, he's run 80% of their passes he's run a route on. That's a very high number for a tight end because you could either be off the field or blocking. He's been targeted at least 7 times in every game this year. Only 2 tight ends have more targets. And, you know, but his yards per route run is low. It's 1.05. You know, we kind of mentioned that with Flacco too. In terms of catches, Conklin and Wilson are tied, leading the team with 18. Moore has a dozen, 10, or Davis has 10. Wilson is the most targeted, 32. Conklin with 24 targets. Moore and Davis has 22 and 19. Davis does average 18.7 yards per catch, which is by far their highest, but that's skewed because of the long one he caught. And Moore ran a route on 91% of their pass plays. That's their highest. The running back situation's interesting, and I think it's slowly changing. Michael Carter's been on the field for 131 plays against 97 for Breece Hall. Hall played 42 snaps last week. Carter saw 36 plays. But Hall was on the field for all but 2 of their third downs. I think he's going to get more than the 8 carries he got against the Bengals going forward, that's for sure. And he averaged 4.9 yards per carry last week compared to 3.5 for Carter. And here's the thing about Hall is he broke off a run of 10 or more yards on 19% of his carries, which is nearly the double of NFL average. You know, most backs, about 10% of your carries go for 10 yards or more. He's doubling that already as a rookie. So I think he's a breakout guy. If you're a fantasy player, I would grab Breece Hall very quickly. Where was I at there? Okay. The Steelers defense is allowing 4.2 yards per carry. That's not too bad. The Flacco is targeting running backs at a ridiculous rate this year, though. Over a quarter of his targets have gone to running backs. Who's to say if that changes or not with Wilson, but crazy. Another snap count note here for the defense. Minka, Sutton, Edmonds, they have been on the field for all but 4 snaps or more. Minka has never missed a play. He's played all 240. The next most used defensive backs are Levi Wallace at 118 snaps and Millett at 84. The off-the-ball inside linebackers, Jack has been on the field for 212 plays. Bush has played 137. Spillane has played 81. We know Watt has been out, but he has 66 snaps so far this year. Highsmith's at 208. Malik Reed's at 134. The D-line rotation has been good. And it looks like Adams is going to pass Alualu, who I really think struggled this past week and worries me. Cam's played 165 snaps. Ogunjobi's at 144. The next 4 are Alualu at 104, Wormley at 86, Liao at 46, and Adams at 31. Here's a little something for the Steeler D. The average drive the Pittsburgh defense faces to start, you know, average starting field position for the Steelers defense occurs at the 32.5 yard line. Only 2 defenses are starting drives with worse field position, so that's not great, but shows how well they're playing. You're putting them in a bind right before the start. And to back that up, here's my last stat of the day. The Steelers defense is giving up 1.54 plays per drive. Folks, that's sixth best in the league. I mean, so I know people are a little rough on the D after the run defense in Cleveland, but those stats are pretty strong in their favor. So that's a wrap. We will preview the game, some individual matchups, things like that, whatever news also pops up, maybe some injury stuff, and over and out. See you.